You are listening to KKUP Cupertino. Welcome to A Meeting of the Ways. Welcome to A Meeting of the Ways today. My name is Diane Solomon, and today our guest on A Meeting of the Ways is San Jose State University sociology professor Scott Myers-Lipton, and he is here today talking about his new book, Social Solutions to Poverty, America's Struggle to Build a Just Society, and he's got a website, solvingpoverty.com. Welcome, Scott Lipton Myers, to Meeting of the Ways.
Thanks for having me.
I guess maybe we should jump into your new project. I mean, it seems like your book informed it, or
yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
You should tell us how it came to be.
Yeah, so the project is called the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project, and so this project came out of actually a student action that students had done at San Jose State campus. They had an election night. Of course, they all went and voted, but on election night afterwards, they wanted to do something else. It was like, what else can we do for our democratic responsibility? So they decided to have an event called Poverty Under the Stars, which was a sleep out on the campus to highlight the fact that San Jose, Silicon Valley, now has the highest homeless population in Northern California at 7,600 homeless people in any given one night. And so they wanted to highlight that fact. And so we decided to have an event on the middle of the campus under our John Carlos and Tommy Smith statues of these two San Jose State students who raised their fists in 1968 against oppression and against racism and poverty, because I'm a student of advisor to several of those groups that the students are involved in. They said, Professor, we want you to come sleep with us. I said, okay, I'm getting older, but I can do this for you. So what they decided to do was actually show the Spike Lee documentary, When the Levees Broke. So we watched that start at 7 o'clock. We showed it outside. It was a beautiful night. Had a huge screen set up and watched that video with about 40 students from various organizations. It's in four acts. And so every act we would have, which is an hour, we would then talk for 20 or 30 minutes. And after that, we would maybe 6 hours of talking of that and seeing the social suffering and hearing about it, I really felt like, boy, I was moved to do something. So the next morning, I went and teach my class, and I happened to teach about the CWA, the Civilian Works Administration, and the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, which picked up on the CWA, which ran for about 6 months. And the CWA, they had how many people? I think it was 800,000 people they hired within 2 weeks of it passing. In fact, it was passed in November of 1934. And so in 2 weeks, they hired 800,000. And by the end of January, 2.5 months, they had 4 million people working. I said, well, if they could do that in 1935, why couldn't we do that today? So the idea of having a civic works project, and I'm playing on the word civic and works, because right now I would argue that our civic is not working. Our civics is not working because why? We have a relationship between the government and the people. And it goes like this for me. You have a social compact. The government, we do certain things for the government. We pay our taxes. We sit on juries. We defend the country when called. And then the government is there for us when we need them, and particularly when we're in crisis. And so that social compact has been torn. And it's not just for the Gulf Coast residents, but all of us in America. So we really feel that if we had 100,000 jobs, that's the idea, 100,000 jobs for Gulf Coast residents to rebuild their communities, that they would, that social compact would be restored, that the individual people who have suffered so much and still suffer. 80% of New Orleans first responders are living in FEMA trailers 16 months, 17 months after Katrina struck. They're under incredible stress. I'm talking to folks down there, incredible stress, and they really need housing, you know, long-term housing. So this this idea, not yet a bill, but this idea would bring 100,000 jobs to rebuild the housing, provide income, and provide hope and, you know, away from despair. So that's the idea of the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project. And then out of that, we were like four or five of us, students and myself, we sent it out to folks. People liked it. So we said, let's go down to Louisiana, New Orleans. I was giving a talk in New Orleans anyway in mid-January. So I got a conference. I said, let's go down. You know, they said, actually, my students said, let's go down. I said, fine. I have a hotel room. I'll open up. You can sleep on the floor and we'll go talk to folks about it. And then I was talking to another student who was going to go, actually a freelance photographer, and who's a San Jose State student. And she's like, I could take pictures. I want to go and I'll take pictures and uplink them. I said, great. We'll uplink them. And then all of a sudden it came to me. I said, wow, what if we decided instead of having this, you know, us uplinking the pictures to the students. What if we had the students come to Louisiana? And then I said flippantly to my wife, who was there, I said, we were at Pomegranate's restaurant. I said, right across the street from San Jose State. I said, hey, what if we call it, instead of, you know, we have Mississippi Summer 1964, we'll call it Louisiana Winter 2007. And all of a sudden, I was like, wow. And I went into my class, which I was teaching that night, happened to be on social solutions to their issues, because we do an internship, but I'm the professor of that class. And I said, and the topic was think big. So after they all talked, I said, wow, I have this idea. I'm actually embarrassed to actually say it because it's so big. It was like, what if we took, you know, let's say we got hundreds of students and we brought them there to Louisiana and we organized around this idea for a Gulf Coast Civic Works project. And I said, if anyone's interested in that idea, come to stay after class. And I thought maybe one or two. I think eight or nine stayed, and we had that was really the beginning of it. We stayed for an hour and talked, and we've been working around the clock ever since. We now have 95 students from 17 colleges going down to Louisiana and Mississippi January 14th to the 20th. We just had our 3-city kickoff on Thursday at San Jose State. Sally Lieber, our assembly person from this area, also the speaker pro tem, was there. We had some Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's people there. Governor Blanco issued a statement in support. William Jefferson, the New Orleans Democrat congressperson, was there at New Orleans. The NAACP has picked this up, and they're really providing the legwork on the ground there, and Mississippi folks have picked it up. So there's really movement here, and I want to say, if there's any students that are listening to this, this is a national call to college students to come and participate in Louisiana Winter from January 14th to the 20th, and we really want you to be there as college students, and then I could maybe say a little bit more later about what every, you know, American citizens could do as well.
If you just joined us, our guest today is San Jose State University sociology professor Scott Myers-Lipton, talking about his new book, Social Solutions to Poverty, America's Struggle to Build a Just Society, and his Gulf Coast Civic Works Project. It sounds like nothing's been done in Louisiana. What are you folks going to go down there and do?
Yeah. So what differentiates our group from other groups going to Louisiana, Mississippi, is that a lot of groups, and we support that. In fact, a lot of my students do that kind of work, is do, you know, charity or community service, rebuild houses, you know, working on a habitat teams. And I've done plenty of that work. But this is going to be a little bit different. We're going down actually to do political organizing. And we're going to be we would estimate if we have several hundred people, we'll be in groups of maybe 10 teams of 20 to 40 students. So there'll be 10 teams kind of spread out across New Orleans. And we will be first in the morning just hearing from the Gulf Coast residents, because part of that process is just to hear what the social conditions is. This kind of relates to my book too. Hear the social conditions first. And then we're going to be going. And so after we hear those, then we'll spend the next 5 or 6 hours going what we call door to door and store to store, just basic old grassroots organizing, handing out leaflets, telling about the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project. See, you know, on the backside, this is the 5 things you can do right now to actually help get this idea into a bill form and then try to get it passed through Congress. And then we invite people to a town hall meeting. And at that town hall meeting, more dialogue about the idea, what else needs to be included in this proposed idea to a bill form, what needs to be in there. So we're going to gather all that information, right, and put it into a proposition. And we've been asked by Congressman Benny Thompson's office to present that. What are the findings that we find? So, and also Sally Lieber's interested in us coming to the California legislature and say, you know, to educate and inform, what did we learn? And so we're going to come up with it. The Student Hurricane Network, this is a really cool part. Law students from all over the country, they're going to be a law student on every one of those teams, and then they're going to help us put it into legal form. So it's not just, you know, written form or prose. It's actually in kind of a legalistic format that could be proposed as a bill. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to call all those people we meet throughout the whole Gulf Coast to actually come to a mass rally in New Orleans on January 20th, which we hope, you know, tens of thousands of people will come. But here's the kicker on top of that. We're calling the whole nation to hold mass rallies in Cupertino, Santa Clara, San Jose, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Phoenix, all the way across the country in New York and Chicago and Detroit, that there would be mass rallies in support of the Louisiana Winter students, first, and what they're doing, and second, to say we want to see the Gulf Coast rebuilt with their own citizens. So it's kind of that. So we want to have this mass rallying, which, with the president then speaking to the nation a couple of days later for his State of the Union address, we want him to recognize that there is this movement of people that says no longer are we going to allow our sisters and brothers in the Gulf Coast to be suffering so much.
You know, Civics Work Project sounds great. I went to hear Sydney Sheehan Friday night, and mm-hmm. I saw you there, Scott Myers-Lipton, and she said that it was hard to believe, but she said the war in Iraq is costing the United States, what was it, $10 million an hour?
Wow. I saw
it. I recorded her, and she said it twice, and I was like, that's so much money, and it seems like you could easily hire 100,000 people and bring them back from wherever they left and bring them back to New Orleans to help build their homes.
The number that I've from the congressional budget, it's a committee that actually it's a nonpartisan committee that follows it. It's congressional budget something. They estimate that the war is costing $6 billion to $9 billion a month. So if you just this proposal, the estimated cost is about $3.1 billion looking at wages and material. So if you look, and we use to get that number, we use the CWA formula of kind of 80% wages, 20% material. So using that and kind of and calculating it $12 an hour, kind of, you know, would hopefully be close to, you know, living wage campaigns usually are at, you know, at the one that we have here in San Francisco at $8.50, $8.75. So it's more than that. So it's $12. So hopefully it would, you know, allow so people to have a living wage. So then at that rate, it would be $3.1 billion a year. So it would just be a third of the amount we're spending every month. And I would say to the American people, if we're going to spend that money in Iraq, why can't we spend $3 billion a year for our own sisters and brothers here in the Gulf Coast to rebuild their lives? I mean, security is also right here at home.
Well, you know, one thing I forgot to say when we began our program is the views and opinions expressed on this program aren't necessarily those of the staff and management of KKUP. You know, it seems like we have no voice. And one thing I appreciated about your book was a reminder that I think a lot of young people may not even realize is we do have a social contract with our government that seems all but forgotten. Back when I was a lot younger, the government was a good thing, and now it seems like the libertarians have taken over. There's some sort of mentality like we don't want government doing anything, and I think they've sort of brainwashed us. But our government used to monitor our food, they used to monitor the pharmaceuticals, they made sure automobiles were safe, they had civil service to make sure that for certain things that affected everybody, there was a high level of service so that you had a job, you know, the people who worked in the government had a certain level of competency to make sure that we got a certain level of service. And that is all but gone.
So I'm grading papers right now. It's finals time. So in one of the finals that I was looking at was a student that wrote, you know, government can't do anything. Government really doesn't do anything for us. And so, I mean, you could look at that and say in the Gulf Coast and say there's obviously, you know, there's frustration that the government hasn't done enough, for sure. But I wrote all in the papers, like, oh, so the government hasn't, you know, legislated the 40-hour work week, or the government hasn't legislated, you know, minimum wage, or the government hasn't legislated. You could go on and on to what the government being pushed. But if you have the idea that the government is responsive to the people, in fact, didn't Abraham Lincoln say, of the people, by the people, for the people? So if you have the idea that the government is us, and we demand the government respond to the people, the government is not the problem. If you're going to solve poverty, the government has to be, you know, intimately and directly involved. Not that it has to do everything, but it has to provide support. You can have public-private partnerships that are creative, where there's not, you know, extra, you know, bureaucracy, and where, you know, people are not, you know, where money's not being siphoned off, and so where it's kind of the bad part of big government. But you can have a government that's effective, and that is compassionate, and that ensures that all people have what are human rights: jobs, housing, food. These are basic human rights. There's this idea of 100,000 jobs, which, by the way, has implications for, if it's passed, for dealing with poverty in America, right? Because if you start looking at what happens in the Gulf Coast, you start thinking, hey, why can't we have that in California? And for people say that, you know, wow, that's a radical idea, I would respond that this is actually an age-old American idea. Because when you look at the historical record, actually, it's first thought of by a guy named Jacob Coxey, 1894, during the Depression of 1893-84. He decides to take 5,000 unemployed men and walk them all across the country to Washington, D.C. It's the first national protest, and he called it a petition with boots. You know, we're going to bring in a petition, and we're going to bring it to D.C. So this idea of public works is as old as, you know, this has 110-year history in America. It's thought of again by Roosevelt. He proposes it. It runs for, what, from 34 all the way with a a little break with the CWO stopping and then starting again with the WPA all the way to 42, I think. And then it's picked up again by Martin King, really the second founding father of the country, who says to end poverty, we need to do a couple of things. One is we have to provide living wage jobs for all our people that can work. And if a private industry can't do it, which he says, look at the record, they can't do it. They can't provide enough jobs, living wage jobs for our people. So there's got to be the public involved. The government has to be involved and provide enough living wage jobs. So that was part of it for this, his vision, which he called the beloved community. And so we're picking that up again. And Mackie, we're calling for this whole campaign is based in King's idea of the beloved community, that we see ourselves as trying to build the beloved community in Louisiana and Mississippi and eventually the rest of the United States. People want to do something that's constructive, that's powerful, and really to be a part of history. Help us organize events in San Jose, Cupertino, Santa Clara to say to the government, we want a different response, and this we want to support the students, and we want to see whatever comes out of there in addition to this 100,000 jobs for the Gulf Coast residents. So if people are interested, that website, solvingpoverty.com. Go to that, and there's, you know, all information up there, downloadables. And so I just think that that's a way for you to be involved in history, because I think this, if enough students participate, it could really be, as we're hoping, is this generation's call to human rights. And we use that language particularly, is that both Malcolm and Martin had moved away from civil rights. They didn't use it. They said, we need a human rights agenda, not a civil rights. We need jobs. We need housing. We need enough food. We need, you know, the basics of, you know, kind of economic healthcare. Rights, mm-hmm. Healthcare. So those are the things we need.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Scott Myers-Lipton. And if you want to get a hold of him, you can visit his website, solvingpoverty.com. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Until next time, peace be with you.